presenting the world's greatest mysteries. And now, your host.
This is Basil Rathbone. On a street in Paris, there's a sign denoting the entrance to the offices of one of America's famous newspapers. Out through the entrance, many times has come one roving reporter extraordinary. This has been his starting point for journeys to the capitals and villages of Europe. His aim has been to investigate, to search into, to find the secrets behind those mysteries that result in front page copy and make the headlines of this famous daily. News which without doubt had its mysterious implications and, more likely, its menacing moments. In a moment, one such story. It carries Mike Spyline, and he tells it the way he saw it.
Angel. Confidential for a New York paper in Paris. One day last month, I flew from Paris to Berlin to get a story for my column. A story about a killer. The newspapers all called him the sniper. He'd committed 3 murders in the space of 4 months, and the victim in each case was a young, beautiful girl. The Berlin police were almost frantic in their efforts to catch him, but so far, no luck. When the plane touched down at the airport, Ed Mills, our Berlin correspondent, was there to meet me.
Mike, you old so-and-so.
Hi, Ed.
What's the big idea, moving in on my territory? Why doesn't Paris get a sniper of her own?
Well, I'll tell you. We advertised, but, well, nobody's willing to take the job. How are things
anyway? Oh, fine, just fine. Got myself a honeymoon apartment in the classiest part of the city, and every fraulein in Berlin's just crazy about me. What more could a guy want?
All right, now I'll settle for a cab. I'm supposed to wire in a story in Paris by 3 p.m.
My car's right outside the gates. If you made an hotel booking, cancel it. You're staying at my place.
Well, if it won't put you out, Ed.
Oh, I got plenty of room. Come on, grab your bag out of the pile, and we'll get going. How does a columnist come to be hunting a murder story?
Human interest.
In a story like this?
A killer's human. People are interested.
Oh, yeah, when you put it like that.
I'm not after the main story. I'll leave that to you, Ed. I just want the odd angles. Cute stuff, you know.
Sure. We'll be able to work together then. Although, if you plan to stay in the city until the sniper's caught, you better prepare to be away from Paris for a long time.
It's like that, huh?
You can't blame the cops. Where do they start? Every time a murder's been committed, it's been in a different part of the city. The only thing each crime has in common is the victim.
Pretty girls.
Every time. Guy uses a .22 rifle, probably fitted with telescopic sights. He takes up his position on the roof of a building and waits. Pretty girl comes into view, and he fires. Crowd panics. By the time the police arrive on the scene, he's gone.
A rifle's a pretty large article to conceal.
Maybe he dismantles it and hides it under his coat. Wouldn't be difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing much the cops can do except wait. Hope that the next time they catch him before he gets away.
That's about it.
Well, he's obviously crazy, but why has he got this desire to kill? Why are his victims always the same?
I can't answer that one. This evening I'm interviewing somebody who possibly can. Herr Dr. Atzmann. He's one of the city's fashionable psychiatrists. Get your story phone through as soon as we get to the flat, and then you can come along with me, if you like.
Fine. I've always agreed with the guy who said anyone who goes to a psychiatrist ought to have his head read, but nevertheless, it should prove interesting.
Yes, gentlemen. The killer is psychotic, I can assure you of that. And I can also guarantee that he will continue to commit these crimes until caught.
What do you think the reason is, Doc?
Who knows? The illness could have been triggered by any number of things. Mm-hmm. The real cause probably lies buried deep in the killer's childhood. Perhaps for some reason he once wished his mother were dead. He felt guilty about his thoughts, repressed them, and they lay smoldering deep in his subconscious for many years until, at last, they are released to the conscious.
So?
Suddenly he's aware of a desire to kill. An overpowering urge to destroy beautiful women.
So he buys a rifle and sets out to do just that.
Exactly. Or perhaps he imagines himself to be repulsive to women. He feels that no woman wants him. He feels rejected, resentful. And so he takes his revenge in this way. But, gentlemen, until he is caught and examined, we can only surmise.
What sort of a guy do you think he'd be?
Well, superficially, he's probably as rational as I. He could probably hold a normal conversation with you, joke with you. And a few moments later, he could go out again and kill.
He could, in other words, be almost any adult male in Berlin.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wonder the police are having trouble trying to trace him, then.
Yeah, Herr Conway. Compared to this, looking for a needle in a haystack would be the play of a child.
On the way back to the apartment, Ed had to call into his office. Just as we got in the door, the phone rang.
Ed Mills speaking. Oh, yeah, Otto. What? When? Holy smoke, where was it?
Yeah, I've got it, Otto. I'll get down there right away, and thanks for the tip. Come on, Mike.
Victim number four?
Yeah, he's killed again. I'm not 200 yards from this office.
Since television, you know. Hardly anybody listens to radio anymore.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that if I were you.
There's a radio in use for every man, woman, and teenager in America.
Really? Gee, I'd hate to think of them all turning them on at once.
They do. Every morning.
DFRA, dial 580.
To the scene of the crime. The victim was about 20, a brunette, and very pretty. She'd been shopping, and her basket lay beside her with a parcel spilling out over the sidewalk. A big red stain was covering her white blouse. One glance told me she was dead. Pardon me.
Did you see it happen? I'm a reporter.
Oh, she was walking just ahead of me. I thought she'd fallen over. I went to help her up, and the blood...
I didn't see her fire the shot.
No, the blood, it was pinky.
Did you hear a shot then?
Well, nothing. She was walking in front of me. She just fell. I thought she was sick.
You don't know the girl?
Oh, she's a complete stranger to me. The blood, it was horrible. She just fell over. I thought she was sick.
Come on, Ed. I've seen enough. I never did have a very strong stomach for this sort of thing.
Me neither.
Out of the way there, please. Let the ambulance men through, and nobody leave until you give them permission.
Hell of the cops. Once again, too late.
Sergeant, have your men set up a block at the intersection and jump to it. Let nobody through unless I tell you to. Now, who saw this happen?
Even with our press cards, it took us 15 minutes to get out of the area. The police fenced in four city blocks and went over every building. They questioned and searched every man they found. I think they were even suspicious of one another. Result? Nothing. Once again, the sniper had got away. Ed and I phoned our stories through to Paris and then went back to the apartment.
Whiskey bottle, glasses. Grab that pitcher of ice water, Mike.
Yeah, with pleasure.
We're talking about on the balcony. It's pleasant there this time of the evening. Yeah, go on, take a seat. I don't know about you, but I ain't a stiff one.
Yeah, I have nightmares for a month.
Better make it two stiff ones.
Sudden death's bad enough, no matter who it happens to. When it's a girl, a nice-looking kid, just a kid, in fact.
Mm.
All right, cheers.
Yep.
This is one time I could get tight and say I had an excuse.
You know, I've got a theory, Ed.
On the sniper?
Yeah. How come he always gets through the net? Every time. Could it be because he's, well, somebody with a reason for being on the scene?
Like who?
Well, a cop, say, or a reporter.
Interesting. What about the weapon? They let us through, okay, but they frisked us. And a cop would either have to dispose of the rifle, in which case it would probably be found or carried with him.
Yeah. So that theory's out.
It seems he fires the shot and then beats it immediately. By the time the first police car's on the scene, he's probably a half mile away.
Wait a minute, Ed.
Huh?
Across the road. There's somebody standing there.
Where?
He just went in one of those doors.
So what?
Ed, look, I know it's pretty dark, but I'm willing to swear that that guy dropped a gun barrel out of his coat and then picked it up again.
Oh, now, come on, Mike.
I'm serious. You heard it drop yourself. You must have.
Sure, but I didn't take any notice.
Well, I did. As he stooped down and picked it up, I saw it glint. You know, the way metal will, even in the dark.
Oh, look, Mike, you got this sniper business on your mind. We both have, but...
Imagination or not, I'm going to cross the street and take a look. You coming, Ed?
Thank you.
the opposite sidewalk, and Ed came along with me under protest. Maybe, like he said, I was going to make a fool of myself, but just maybe it was a gun barrel I'd seen clatter onto the pavement. This is the place. Here's where he dropped it.
Oh, what do we do now?
Who lives in these houses?
Which door do you go in?
Well, I'm not sure. The doors of both these houses are alongside one another.
One on the left's empty. The guy who lived there moved out last month.
Oh?
I think the house has been sold, but there's nobody living there yet.
And the other one?
Oh, an old man named Guyler. I think he's an invalid. Never seen him. He's got a daughter. Alda, I think her name is, and a son.
A son? How old?
22, 23, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
But listen, Mike, he's a harmless-looking guy. Looks like he wouldn't say boo to a fly.
Remember what the psychiatrist said? The sniper could be anybody. Anybody at all.
But what do we do? Just knock on the door and say, pardon me, but are you the sniper?
Do you know these people at all?
I've spoken to the girl. She's a plain Jane, not too friendly. Just good morning, that's about all.
Mike, stretch your vocabulary to good evening.
But listen. Oh, why, hello there.
How me?
Yeah, it's me, Fraulein Garner. This is my buddy, Mike Conroy. He's a newspaper man like myself.
Yeah, how do you do?
Will you come in?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Connolly, I'll kill you with this. Well, I guess you wonder what this is
about.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you see,
maybe I'd better explain, Fraulein Geiler. It's really my fault, you see. Herr Mills and I are both covering the sniper story.
Oh, the sniper, yes. I just heard on the radio he got killed again.
Yeah, an hour ago, to be exact. Oh, Ed and I were both there. When we came back, we were sitting up on the balcony, and I saw somebody come to your door. I couldn't see what he looked like. It was too dark, but he dropped something on the doorstep, and it looked and sounded like a rifle barrel. Then he picked it up, opened the door, and came inside.
Inside our house?
Yeah.
A sniper? But it is impossible. We have no sniper in our house. There is nobody here but my father, my brother Gerald, and me.
Sure, that's what I told Mike.
Well, I don't want to scare you, Fraulein, but is your brother Gerald in?
Oh, yes, but... You don't think Gerald the sniper, but...
Well, do you think we could have a word with him?
Oh, certainly, Herr Conroy, if it will make you happy. Although I don't know whether Gerald would be pleased to be disturbed in the middle of his bath.
Fraulein, I'll see what you've done. The whole family will probably sue us for defamation of character or something.
In the middle of his bath, she said.
Oh, you can sue for thousands over a thing like this.
How well?
The paper can afford it. Ah, Herr Geiler.
Oh, good evening, mein Herr. So you've come to catch the sniper.
Look, I guess we made a mistake.
Herr Geiler, I hope you'll pardon the question, but I just want to set my mind at rest.
Yeah.
Did you come in just a few moments ago?
Nein, I've been lying in the warm bath for the past 20 minutes. Nor did I drop a rifle on the doorstep. For I've been called many things in my time, but never a sniper. Perhaps it be considered a distinction.
Look, we're sorry to have bothered
you. You have nobody else living here, I suppose. A lodger, maybe?
Nobody. And if you wish now to switch the blame onto my father, bear in mind the fact that he has not worked since 5 years.
But I could swear I saw somebody.
If you disbelieve my story, you may ask my father. He will tell you that I have not stepped outside the door all evening.
Somebody go in there, you'd swear it on a stack of Bibles.
And I would.
Look, have another drink and forget about it.
Maybe he went into the house next door.
We checked, remember? Cobwebs on the doorknob.
Nobody's opened that door in weeks.
Then they must be covering up for him for some reason.
Oh, nuts. You spoke to the guy.
He was laughing about it, fortunately. You're taking it into his mind to sue.
Yeah, that's what Dr. Atzvan said. The sniper would joke with you and then go out and kill. He's the sort of guy that could have a grudge about his looks.
Geiler?
Well, he's no Adonis. How about that hooked nose of his?
Everyone in the Geiler family seems to have it. Even Olga. She's no beauty. But getting back to the kid, it still doesn't make him a killer.
Oh, what the heck. I'm going to bed. I tossed and turned all night. The next morning, I was still puzzled. It just didn't add up. Late that afternoon, I went for a stroll. I walked past the Geiler's house and stopped for a moment where I'd seen the rifle barrel fall. A shiny little object against the wall caught my eye. I stooped down and picked it up. The
It was a cartridge, a 22 rifle cartridge.
Came into your home and stole all of your radios?
Every radio I had to my name.
Including transistors?
Yes. Well, he left me one earplug, I'll say that for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, did he take anything else?
Just the radios and a couple of pieces of fruit.
I see. Well, what...
A banana and two cajota figs.
Mm-hmm.
Don't deny him the fruit.
No. Are you and your husband going to replace the radios?
Well, we'll have to. We have a 10-room house. We had a radio in every room.
Then he stole all 10 radios.
11.
11?
He also stole the car.
The FRA, dial by 80.
Well, Ed?
It's a 22 cartridge right off.
Now, do you think I imagined it all last night?
But it still doesn't prove anything.
No?
Joe Guyler hadn't been out when the shooting took place.
His sister said so, and his father.
So? People have lied before. Whole families have...
I know, but why?
If you knew your brother was a crazy killer, would you protect him? Wouldn't you say that he was put away if only for his own good?
Sure, I would.
But might.
Look, Ed, last night I saw somebody trying to conceal a gun. This afternoon I find a bullet. I'm going to phone the police.
Now, hold on. We made fools enough of ourselves last night. Let's not repeat the performance.
Well, then what do? Forget the whole thing and wait till the sniper kills again?
Look, the sniper in every instance is killed in the early evening between, say, 8 and 10, right?
Check.
If young Guyler is the sniper, and tonight he gets the urge again, he'll leave by that door. There's no back exit. Behind the Guyler's house are more houses.
Yeah?
So, tonight we sit out here and watch, just to prove you're wrong, okay?
Ed still insisted that I was making a mistake, that there was nothing in the whole thing. But before we took up our positions on the balcony, I noticed he rooted out an old army service pistol from somewhere and stuck it in the top of his pants, just in case. Well, we sat, and we waited.
8:30. Well, it gets tedious, don't it?
Yeah, it's almost completely dark, and no moon.
Say, what if the sniper decides not to kill again for a month or two? Do we sit out here every night?
Huh? The door's opening.
Yeah, somebody's coming out.
Come on, Ed, and hurry. The shadowy figure set off down the street, and we followed at a safe distance. We were led through a maze of narrow, ill-lit streets and alleyways until, after we'd been walking about 20 minutes, the figure stopped at the rear of a large building which looked to be a warehouse of some kind. I grabbed Ed's arm. Hold on.
He's climbing the fire escape.
Making for the roof, I guess. What's on the other side of this building?
As far as I remember, a park.
Well lit?
In parts. Sort of lover's walk. Look, he's nearly reaching the top.
Come on.
Better let me go first up the fire escape. I've got the gun.
Okay.
You hear us coming.
We'll have to risk it. Take it easy now.
No sign of him.
Probably on the other side of the roof.
Look. Over near the skylight.
That's it.
Okay, Guyler, your game's up. Drop that rifle and get your hands high.
Ouch.
Ed. My shoulder.
Get down. Behind this chimney, quickly. You okay?
Yeah. Bullet only grazed my arm. Here, take the gun.
You haven't got a hope, Guyler. The whole place is surrounded by police.
Yeah, well, two can play at that game. Keep your head down.
Drop that gun, Guyler, or we'll shoot you.
Did you get him?
That's all bluff. I can't even get my head up far enough to see him.
His rifle's empty.
I'm coming to get you, Guyler.
Get your hands up and drop that. Oh, no, you don't.
Let me go. I'll kill you. Let me go.
Holy smokes.
Let me go.
Alda.
Yep, it all made sense then. The reason the police had never caught the sniper was that they'd been looking for a man. A woman, even a woman wearing slacks and a duffel coat, could get through their roadblocks without causing a second glance. After shooting her victim, Olga would dismantle the rifle and strap it beneath her coat. If she hadn't dropped the barrel that night, she might still be free. Why did she do it? Well, she was a plain girl with a big nose. She thought she was ignored and ridiculed. She thought that no man wanted her. So she took her revenge in her own crazy way by killing beautiful women. Olga didn't even stand trial. She was committed to an institution. I guess she'll be there for a long time to come.
How did it happen again?
Well, I was driving down the freeway on my way to work watching this old Betty Grable movie.
Watching an old Betty Grable movie?
Yeah, a little portable TV. I had it sitting up there in the dashboard.
I know.
All of a sudden, this commercial comes on. The guy in a white coat says, "Now watch this amazing demonstration."
And?
I watched. Next thing I knew, pow!
Look, you can't watch television commercials while you commute.
I found that out.
You can't read a newspaper.
No.
The only thing you could do while you're driving is listen to the radio.
Yeah, well, that's all I intend to do, boy. Just as soon as I get out of traction.
Listen to radio. Only 150 million people. That's all.
This is CFRA 580 in Ottawa.
As Mike Conoy in another exciting episode in the series, Europe Confidential.